You're listening to an audio resource of Boyce College, undergraduate school of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
I feel like I'm in my element because I live life with college-age guys and gals. I travel on the road 9 months out of the year. This particular season, I've got 19 guys and gals ranging in age from 18 to 33. 10 guys, 9 gals. We'll be in 24 different locations. And our sole desire is to see God glorified. The thrust of our ministry is the message of revival. And sometimes that word has many meanings depending upon how you grew up and the circle that you were a part of. But if I were to put a definition to the word revival, it would very simply be this: true intimacy with the lover of my soul. True intimacy with the lover of my soul. That young man who you heard on the back end of that little video, at a very young age, had recognized that his life had become so complicated and busy at a young age that he actually had fallen out of love with the lover of his soul. If there's one word that's used to describe people today that they almost gloat about, it's this word called busyness. I mean, you guys typify the word busyness. Busy, 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 going here, doing that. As a matter of fact, maybe you come up to others in your community and you're trying to outdo one another in your busyness. Now, I'm so busy. Busyness can be the death of intimacy with God. I heard one man say this, that busyness produces barrenness. And in your busyness, are you bare? Now, I'm touched by the water, by the words that my daughter had shared in relationship to me. I got to tell you something. She lied to you. I'm not that good. I'm a man who gets consumed with the affairs of this world, so much so that in the midst of its busyness, I lose intimacy with God. And I think time and time again, that is the truth of God's people. That in their desire to serve the Lord, they get so busy that they fail to recognize how God really wants them to serve. I've had the privilege of being married. This coming March, it'll be 25 years. That's pretty cool. And I'm thankful for that opportunity. I went and got my hair cut, especially for you guys, yesterday. I still am trying to figure out how to do this stuff. Maybe I ought to quit acting younger than what I really am. But as I was talking to the woman who was cutting my hair, I shared with him about my family. And I shared how I have 6 kids. And this was her first comment: are they all from the same woman? It's an indictment on our nation. I said, they sure are. And been married to her for 25 years. It's been really cool. Marianne and I live in a 5th-wheel trailer. It's about 54 feet in length. We live in a trailer with 3 of our remaining children that are at home with us. And we have a little dog. He's a 12-pound Yorkie. He's actually a Yorkie Shih Tzu mix, and he's got a lot of attitude, and he thinks he's a German Shepherd, but he's not. We also have an albino corn snake that lives in our trailer with us. My wife's pretty brave, and so are the remaining daughters that are there. I think it's pretty cool. And we travel all over. And so I share that with you because you note that I'm not on the platform. It's hard for me to stay in one place. I'm Jewish, by the way, if that's why you're wondering the size of my nose, the dark skin, bushy eyebrows. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not here to terrorize you, okay? I'm just Jewish, okay? I had a woman come up to me the other day and she goes, oh, can I touch you? I said, seriously? Yeah, I always wanted to touch a Jew. I'm dead serious. By the way, this was in Corbin, Kentucky. So I don't know what that says about the people in Kentucky. I know here we are in Corbin. So I let her touch me for $5. I'm Jewish. You got to make money on the deal, right? Okay. So if I spit on you, it's Jewish spittle. It's holy water. You know, it's like it's holy water. Okay. You pick the front seat. But so I'm a Jew. I wander all over. I can't stay on a podium or on a platform behind a podium. I like to walk and I like to preach and I like to teach. And I like to help people come to a place where, quite honestly, they fall in love all over again. And all over again. And all over again. And all over again. And all over again. When I met my wife, I knew that I was going to marry her. Very first date. We met at First Baptist Church in Florida, a community called Sarasota. And I set eyes on her, and I was like, man. Now, I got to be honest. My first thoughts weren't very spiritual. It went something like this. Wow, she is hot. All right? I know that's not that spiritual, but that's what I was thinking at that moment. Man, there was just a connect, and I was like, wow. So I asked her out on a date, and she said yes, and we went out on a date, and I had a great time. So I asked her if she'd go out on a date with me again, and she said yes. I said, cool, we're going somewhere. She said, when? I said, how about tomorrow night? She said, okay. So we went out on a date the next night. But between the first night and the second night, I went home, and I told my dad, I said, Dad, I met the girl I'm going to marry. Now my dad looked at me, and my dad's a very plain-talking type of man, he too being Jewish. He spoke in Yiddish. Yiddish is Hebrew and whatever might be from that old part of the country. In my case, it was Russia. So he spoke this Hebrew-Russian word to me. You're Meshuggah. Say that word with me, Meshuggah. Here's what it means. You're nuts! I said, no, Dad, I met the girl I'm going to marry. Went out with Marianne the second night, and this is what I said to her. I know something you don't know, but you'll know soon enough. 6 weeks later, on a Sunday morning, with the pastor's permission, after the main service, right before they dismissed the congregation, he allowed me to come down. I got on my knee, and I proposed to Marianne in front of 800 people on that Sunday morning. 6 months later, we got married. 6 children later, here we are. I know it's 666, and it shouldn't add up, but that's where we're at. But 25 years of marriage, and this woman says to me, are these your 6 children? I said, yeah. They're my 6 kids and my 1 wife. It's funny how we paint a picture. But recently, my wife and I got away. And as we got away for a romantic couple days away without kids and without any preaching, just to focus on one another, my wife and I had a room together. We ordered room service. We had room service, had some nice music in the background. And I looked over at my wife, and she looked at me, and she said this, honey, it's been a long time since we've just lingered together. Now, that word linger isn't a widely used word in your vernacular, I'm sure. When was the last time? Yeah, we were lingering the other day over at the, you know, I mean, you just don't use it. But what does that word mean, really, just to linger? Not being hurried. Not being distracted. Not being overly consumed and concerned with everyone and everything else. And here I am married to the woman that I love, the mother of my 6 children. And she says this, it's been a long time since we lingered together. Oh, ouch. That hurt. I'm her husband, man. So I made sure I spent plenty of time lingering with her that night. Next day came around, ordered room service again. Music was on. Decided to take her by the hand. Got up and we danced. I know this is a Baptist school. I know some of y'all come from them real strict Baptist movements. That's okay. Sorry for you, but that's okay. And my wife and I danced, and this is what my wife said. Honey, it's been a long time since we've danced together. Oh, man. Now, I know some of you have raging hormones. You're longing to date. You're longing to get engaged. You're longing to be married. And I don't know how many of you long to have 6 kids, but maybe you're somewhere in the journey there saying, I long for this, thinking that once you get it, there's no way that you could possibly fall out of it. What's it? Love. But here's what God showed me. 25 years into the journey of marriage, the tyranny of the urgent called busyness in good things had drawn me away from what was the most important earthly thing. And that was loving my wife. Oh, have I mentioned to you that for 19 years I've been in full-time ministry? For 10 years, I've been preaching the word of God week in, week out. How is it that someone in ministry, how is it that someone who preaches the word and teaches the word can stray from loving his wife as Christ loved the church? It's because in the midst of doing my ministry, I strayed from the lover of my soul, God. It's because in the midst of my ministry, I strayed from the one who gave his life up for me, Jesus. But how could that be in the midst of ministry? In the midst of life. Turn with me to the Old Testament. I want us to look at 2 passages of Scripture tonight, the first one being in the book of Exodus in the 24th chapter. Moses has been on an expedition. He's led his people out of Egypt. And in his leading the people out of Egypt, he comes to Mount Sinai. And here we have Moses, by God's invitation, approaching Mount Sinai. And in this particular passage, Moses is allowed to approach Mount Sinai not only by himself, but also with others, which had not been the case previously. And so Moses is coming into the presence of the Lord. I want you to look at what the scripture says, beginning in the verse 1 of chapter 24. Then he, being God, said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord. But they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Jump on with me over to verse 9. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there appeared to be pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel. And they beheld God, and they ate, and they drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there. I want to pause there for a moment. I don't take lightly the opportunity that God has given me to come and share with you. I treat you as adults. I look at you and I look at adults. And I've asked God to give me the word for you tonight. And this has been on my heart for weeks since I knew that I had this opportunity to come. And it's being reinforced over the course of the last couple days because I believe that there's something that God wants you to hear. It is of absolute significance. Before I began my ministry season in September of this year. I took time to fast and pray as I often do when God opens up the opportunity for us to travel and preach. And this was an extended fast of 40 days. And about the 30th day, I was crying out to God because there was no revelation. God, please speak to me. God, show me what it is that you would have for me in this season of ministry. Nothing. It was the 35th day, and I had a pastor friend come over to our house for dinner. It's quite awkward when you invite somebody over to the house to have dinner and you're fasting. But it's not awkward for me as much as it's awkward for somebody else. And Ed and Gail are there. They're eating. And I was talking with Ed, and I said, Ed, can you help me? I'm trying to discern God's will in this season in relationship to ministering. I'm asking God to speak to me. Would he perhaps have a word for me through you in light of where you're at in your journey? So, Ryan, all I can tell you is what God's showing me in Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. And that's the reason why I paused there. Because what God showed me, I want you to look at. Sometimes we become such students of the scripture that we forget the simplicity of what God is saying to us in just black and white, because we're trying to find it in the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic, and we're trying to find something so deep, and yet the value of what God wants us to have is right on the surface. Right on the surface. And we miss it. Verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there. The two words I want you to look at, remain there. Remain there. Here's what those words mean. Be there. Listen, y'all. Some of you are here tonight, but you're not here. Some of you are believers, but you're not followers. Some of you are missing out on what God wants you to experience by way of intimacy with Him, because of your busyness. Yo, don't you think Moses was busy? He was married. He had two children. He was leading a nation. He had just established leaders over this nation, and then he put leaders over the leaders of the nation, and then he appointed even some over those that were over those. Don't you think that he could have very easily said, God, you don't understand. I'm about your business. And yet God gave him this invitation. It's found in verse 1. Come and meet with me. Come and meet with me. And then he said, now when you meet with me, remain there with me. Here's my burden for you. You're already on to the next thing. We don't know how to linger. We don't know how to dance. We don't know how to be still. Still our mind, our heart, and our actions in the presence of the lover of our soul. You know what the Lord longs for? It's not a people who are more intelligent. But it's a people who are more deeper. Deeper in their intimacy with the Lord. guy by the name of Richard Foster once said, superficiality is the plague of the day, where we leave a better impression of ourselves than what is true, because we fail to take things deep. What was Paul's determined purpose according to Philippians, wasn't it? To know him. To know him more deeply and more intimately. I want to challenge you all. You're at a busy season of life. You're at a busy 3 weeks, aren't you? Cramming, studying, running here and there. And yet, this is the only breath that God gives you right now. And what does he want right now? You to be with him. Remain with him. Love him. You see, if you can't do that, then you cannot love others. And what God was showing me in light of my season of 25 years of marriage is that I cannot love my wife unless I am with God. I can't fulfill what God has called me to do unless I'm with him. Let me wrap it up. Let me ask you to turn to the New Testament. And I want you to turn to 1 John. And I want you to look at chapter 4. God is all about love. As a matter of fact, that's what this scripture says to us. And remember, beloved, as he refers to us as beloved, I'm going to call you beloved. Remember this, whenever we read the word of God out loud, it is as if God is speaking to us in an audible voice. Can we agree on that? It is. Real danger in the church today. We hear, it goes in one ear and out the other ear. Let me ask you this, gals, those of you that want a boyfriend or have a boyfriend, let me ask this question of you. How many of you want your boyfriend to listen to you or would like your future boyfriend to listen to you? Would you raise your hand if that's your desire? Raise it up high. Let these guys know what you expect out of them. All right, all around. All right, all around. Okay? I want to do one better than that. Gals, listening does not require them giving you their attention. As a matter of fact, the other day my wife is talking to me. I'm sitting in my recliner. I'm holding my iPhone. I got the remote. I'm looking at the TV, and I'm listening in her background. Wasn't really giving her my attention. I was listening to her. She doesn't sound that way. But, you know, let me give you one better. You know what God wants? Your attentiveness. Many of us listen in the church, but we're not attentive to what he's saying because we're too busy, moving too quickly past the moment that he's ordained that we can enjoy him like Moses. And when we move too quickly, guess what? We cannot love. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, 28 times you'll hear the word loved or some variation of the word loved used in the following verses. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God, knows God, and the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Again, let me read that. For God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So much meat there, so little time to unpack it. Don't become so familiar with it that you fail to recognize the depth of what he's saying here. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. See that word abide? Half a dozen times I've just mentioned it. Abide, 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 abide. Moses met with God. He remained with him, i.e., he abided in him. Thus, in his abiding in him, he could do whatever God called him to do. Why? Because he was in the source and the source was in him. Verse 17, by this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. I like how God doesn't mince words. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. When you're abiding in God, when you're in his presence, and you remain there, and you meet with him, it changes you. That's what happened to Moses. He stayed there an extended time, far beyond any other extended time, and the Israelites murmured and grumbled and complained. Why? Because he was with God, and they didn't think that he was coming back. And when Moses came down, the countenance of the glory of God was all over him. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you love? Well, I'm not talking about just the people who love you. Do you love the people that don't love you? The people who've hurt you and wounded you? The ones who broke their promises and their vows. The ones that paid no attention to you, bullied you, made fun of you. When I got done getting my hair cut yesterday, I looked at the three women there. I said, I want you to know something. Nobody's told you this today. You're loved. And they looked at me. I said, that surprises you, doesn't it? I said this, people probably don't even want to know what's really going on in your life, and they just look through you and look past you, look beyond you. She shook her head and she said, yes, that's exactly it. I said, but you know, they say the eyes are the windows to someone's soul. And if you look hard and long enough in someone's eyes, you'll see what's in their soul. I said, I see three women who want to be loved. And they all looked at me. Yeah. You know what your real ministry is, y'all? Not just the ones who love you, but the ones who don't. And the only way you can love like that is by being intimate with him, the lover of your soul. The greatest testimony that you can leave in these days on the legacy of this campus isn't your grade point average. Your love for God and your love for one another. And it's only going to happen if you're intentional. Caleb, I don't know where you're at. I appreciate your testimony. Sharing about your mom and dad. Crazy thing is, usually it takes a point of crisis to bring us to that place of incredible love. I'm glad you were able to. Where are you at, Caleb? I'm looking all around for you. Glad you were able to love, experience that love. Don't wait for a point of crisis. Don't wait for somebody to say, it's been a long time since we lingered or we danced. Don't miss out on the opportunity of God saying, would you remain with me here? Now here's a challenge that I have for you. I'm done. I've got nothing else to say. I brought what God wanted me to bring. Scripture says, to him who speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. To him who serves, let him serve with the strength of God. My concern is that you don't take this away as a takeaway. Good little takeaway. Something retweetable. Here's what my challenge is for you right now. To walk away in this moment, acknowledging God and saying, God, it's been a long time since I've met with you and remained in your presence, giving you my attention so that I could go love. So it's up to you what you'll do. By the way, easy to preach, hard to live. Every day I screw up on this because I love myself more. I got to ask God for his grace to help me not blow it. So you know who needed this message tonight? Me.
We hope you've enjoyed this gospel-centered resource from Boyce College. Please visit us online at boycecollege.com.